All right, we start a new beginning. And we may be doing this in a few months. We may be starting a new beginning again in a few months. We just got to wait and see. But anyway, we'll talk about the affairs and the church business later on. Today, we want to have a lesson about appearances. And I think it's important, but the question is, do people see the genuine you? And or they do they see a fake you? I mean, do you try and put on a position or something like that? And we always need to remember that appearances can be deceiving. And we know that's the case. But anyway, we've got to present ourselves in such a way that people see the best in us. But they got to see the genuine best in us. We just don't put on a show. And appearances are everything to most honest people, and that's true. I mean, what they look like. And maybe we ought to start this by saying, well, we know none of us are perfect. We know that. And so, but we've still got to present ourselves as being the best we can be as Christians. I mean, we're supposed to be, basically it's like that sermon we had a couple months ago. I'm not perfect, but I'm trying. We've got to let people know we're trying to be perfect. And that's the appearance we've got to give. But it's got to be something that comes from within our heart, not just an outward expression. And so those who are not honest have to resort to trickery and deceitfulness so that their true colors are not exposed. So honest people really have nothing to worry about. It's those who are trying to be deceitful. See, when one pretends to be something they are not, we call them a hypocrite. And we call them a deceiver. We call them fake. Or any number of other things. And God does also. See, many people have an ugly side that they do not want exposed. Now, I'm not saying everybody does, but a lot of people do. And they don't want that to get out. I mean, it could be a vice or an addiction that they're involved in. Something that they just don't want people to know about. And famous people do not want to disappoint their fans. I mean, we hear about that. Sometimes they kind of embarrassingly say, well, I have to go into rehab because I've gotten involved in drugs or something else. And sports figures know that many are looking up to them, so they keep their drug addictions hidden from the public. And a lot of people do that. And you don't even have to be famous to do this. A lot of people go into the workplace, probably high on something, and they don't want their boss to know about it. They don't want their coworkers to know about it, and so they're trying to protect themselves and to save themselves some embarrassment. But the thing is, once they are exposed, it causes shame and possibly might even be their downfall in the eyes of the public and from their own families at times. And we've seen this. We've seen political figures, sports figures, entertainment figures do something they really shouldn't have done or said something they shouldn't have said. And then guess what? They're labeled for life as maybe a bigot or somebody, something like that. And so all it takes is just that one time that it happens. And most people just want others to look upon them favorably. We all feel that way. We want people to think good things about us. We want to have the approval of others. And we want them to say, there's a nice person, there's a good person, there's an honest person, or something like that. And sometimes we don't hear it enough. I mean, every now and then we do get one of those compliments. Hey, I like that. I like getting a compliment like that. And so we want that. But we shouldn't be doing things fishing for those compliments either. I mean, we're talking about pride and ego there, stroking our ego. And like I say, sometimes this is just to fuel an ego trip that they might be on. I want everybody to think how great I am, or something like that. And sometimes it's because they take responsibility seriously. I mean, sometimes you have to, well, get busy and do the work, get it done, take responsibility for something, and hopefully you'll get recognized for it. It doesn't always happen. But yet, for my own character's sake, for your character's sake, do the best job you can do. Doesn't matter what you're doing it, just do the best that you can do. And if you get recognition, fine. If you don't, oh well. But God knows you did the best you could do, and you know yourself you did the best you can do, and so that ought to give you that satisfaction and inner satisfaction. But whatever the reason, appearances are important, and they also are important to God. How do we appear to the world? I mean, that's what we've got to look at. I mean, we need to recognize, how do we appear to the world? And that's something we ought to take consideration of. We even mentioned that in class this morning. What is our appearance? What are we associated with? We've talked about associating with various companions. You know, the evil companions corrupt good morals. If you have a bunch of buddies you like to hang out with, and they just a bunch of lousy characters, and somebody sees you hanging with them, what are they going to assume about you? They're pretty much going to assume just like the rest, because, you know, birds of a feather flock together. And so people hang out with their own kind, with people of their same desires and thoughts and everything. And so you're hanging out with a bunch of thugs, guess what? They're going to label you a thug. And whether you are or not, that's what's going to happen. So one of the warnings that parents always tell their children, at least honest parents, if they really care about them, is that appearances can be deceiving. Appearances are deceiving. You've got to look and not just see what's on the surface, but you've got to look inside and see what's there. I mean, you might have a very handsome guy or a beautiful woman, maybe on the outside appearance might be that way, but inside they can be just as ugly as you can imagine. And so, I mean, these appearances, this is how con artists work. And it's how magicians perform their craft, the sleight of hand, the deception, and things like that. And this is how Satan gets a hold of a soul, by giving the appearance of good and that way. See, you know, even Paul in 2 Corinthians talked about even Satan's disciples give the appearance of being righteous ones. I mean, that's what they do. And even Satan himself portrays himself as an angel of light. And a lot of false teachers, they present themselves, oh, I'm a man of God. I'm telling you what God wants you to know. And if you're not verifying what he's saying, then you're being hoodwinked and lied to. And there are millions of those out there. And whether they're lying on purpose or unintentionally, it doesn't matter. If they're teaching something contrary to the Word of God, you've got to be honest enough to say, you know what, that's not right. Here's what the Bible says. And so we do that. And they do this all by giving a false appearance. And yes, we can do that also. We can give a false appearance. In Colossians 2:23, see, these are matters which have to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. There's a lot of people, a lot of things people do in the name of religion. And they present themselves, well, I'm very religious, so here's what you need to be doing. But yet, they come up with things that's not found in the Bible or in the Word of God. And so, I mean, they just come up with these different fanciful little things. And many religions have done that. That doesn't stop you from being a human. Let's put it that way. See, all error and false teaching begins with the appearance of being something good. They all sometimes, I mean, they usually ignore the Bible for the most part, but sometimes they got to throw in a Bible verse or use some Bible words, some church words to make people think, okay, I'm being there, like praise the Lord, bless you, or something like that. Oh, they're religious. They believe in God. And this is how they start their deception, but then they start teaching things that's not found in the Bible. And yet, oh, but they're a man of God. They must know what they're talking about. Well, that's a problem, because most people are ignorant of God's Word, and they don't know that it's not in God's Word. And so the false teaching takes hold and people will believe what they're told. I mean, that's what we talked about in class this morning. I mean, if you believe a lie, then that's going to be your reality. That's going to be how you perceive it. And it doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. We see this, how the news media sometimes manipulates stories to point one picture. Like I said, there can be a soundbite shown on CNN, the same exact soundbite shown on Fox News, and you got two totally different views on that. Two different viewpoints of what was said in that little soundbite. And so people do that. And the people that watch those particular stations, they're going to go along with it because that's what they want to believe. See, and so this is how deception works. This is how lies work. And we know Satan is the father of lies. See, it makes people comfortable that following this particular doctrine will get them to heaven. I mean, they're being lied to. They're being said, oh, just call on the name of the Lord, you'll get to go to heaven. Doesn't matter how you live, doesn't matter if you don't give up your sins or anything like that, you can still go to heaven. Just call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. You don't have to worry about that anymore. Well, like some of their doctrines and their creeds say, this is a most comforting doctrine. And that's how they present it. It's very comforting. And yet, if we look at the Bible, that's not how people are going to be saved. See, Jesus often spoke of the appearance of the Jewish leaders of his day. He warned about them. You know, Matthew chapter 6, he warned about those who stood in the marketplace with their long tassels and then made the pretentious prayers and expecting people to, oh, religious man, we got to give him some honor. I mean, that's how they were acting. And then when Jesus started teaching about these Jewish leaders and making them look bad in front of the people, their next course of action was to kill this guy, get rid of him, shut him up. If we can't embarrass him and make him go back into the corners where he came from, we're going to have to do something drastic. And they ended up killing him. And so that's what they did. See, Matthew 23 and 25, Jesus said, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. I mean, here's talking about, like I say, pretty on the outside, ugly on the inside. And you know what? There's a lot of people like that. Even people in the church can be like that. They might have the appearance, I'm dressed up, I'm here for church, and then they walk out the doors and they're just as ugly as the rest of this world. And so they do that. Verse 27, Jesus made the analogy of painting the tombs white and making them pretty, but they are still full of dead men's bones and dead women's bones. I assume the women were buried too, but I know Abraham's wife was, but you don't read about too many women getting buried in the Bible. But still, let's get back on point. Jesus exposed the hypocrisy of the spiritual leaders of the people. And they didn't like it. And that's why they had the animosity. They tried to trick him. They tried to trap him. They tried everything they could think of till finally they just had to lie about him and make up stories about him and get the Romans to do their dirty work by putting him to death. See, in the Old Testament, Jeremiah gave us a similar teaching. He says in 2 verse 22, God says, although you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, the stain of your iniquity is before me, declares the Lord God. The stain of our sin is always going to be before God. Now, we may not see it. People may present themselves. We may not see their stain of iniquity, but God does. And that's something we all have to remember about ourselves. We can't just present ourselves as being something great and very spiritually minded if the inside isn't that same way. So, God sees our iniquity, and it's our iniquities that separate us from God. Isaiah 59 and verse 2. And so, cleaning the outward does not clean the inward. That's something that we have to learn and we have to recognize. That's why we say appearances are deceiving. And so, one can take a bath all day long, but if the inside is rotten, no soap can make it clean. and make it right. So Proverbs 16:2 reads from one version, "All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives." So the Lord looks into the heart to see what's behind this. I mean, we might do something good for somebody, but what's the motive behind it? You know, some people, they'll do something nice, but they expect something in return. And they want to pay back for something. And we had the sermon a couple of years ago about the unjust steward, who kind of worked out some deals with people who owed him money. And very shrewd, was commended for being shrewd. But it was still very evil, as far as the master was concerned. So, appearances can be deceiving. Like I say, a girl might wear clothing that is popular, and she thinks she looks pretty. A guy just might see someone who is easy and loose. I mean, we know that terminology. We know what we're talking about. And so, our appearance, how we present ourselves to the rest of the world, how the world presents themselves, and do we join the world in presenting the same message? And so, while that may not be a girl's intention, she should be aware that people are watching her clothing and her behavior. And you know what? Guys are not exempt from this either. I mean, that's that way. And so, you know, some people show pictures of themselves on social media all the time. Sometimes it just bugs me to no get outs, all these pictures, this angle, that angle, going in the bathroom and stripping down to their underwear, showing that angle, or getting out there in public and doing stuff like that. I'm sure you see it on TikTok all the time. I don't do TikTok, but I'm sure you see it there, or Snapchat or something, and they're always showing themselves off. And even profile pictures will do that. I mean, we've seen several times, you can probably have probably had people calling and make advances seeking more than just friendship. You know, I've seen people post something on their Facebook page and then now, "Hi, I think you're very lovely. Can I contact you? Can we be friends?" I mean, it happens. And actually, I'm sure the pretty girls get a lot more of those type comments than the ugly ones. But, well, I shouldn't have said ugly. That's probably not the right word to say. Less attractive. Let's go with that. Strike that ugly part, okay? But only the inside is ugly, really? Okay. And this can happen not only from the opposite sex, but even the same sex these days. Yeah, you're looking pretty good there. And can we be friends? And you know what they're trying to say. And we must be careful how we show ourselves to the world. So pay attention to that. And that goes for your social media as well, because you're exposing yourself to potentially thousands, if not millions, of people when you start posting things on the internet. What do we present to the world? Do we demonstrate spirituality or worldliness? I mean, that's what we got to think about. Do we demonstrate spirituality or worldliness? I mean, what does God want us to present to the world? A spiritual nature, of course. And the world, hey, they're happy with their worldliness. They don't care about these things. See, in 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10, Paul writes, "Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly, discreetly, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as befits women making a claim to godliness." All right, some people go on to take this to the extreme and say women can't wear jewelry, they can't wear makeup, they can't wear gold or braid their hair. I mean, that's taken to the extreme. They miss the whole point of the passage. But jewelry and hairstyles are not that important unless they're so provocative. It incites lust from people. But still, that's it. And some people overdo it. We know that. Some people have put on too much makeup. And some people put on too much jewelry. But proper behavior should be the message that we're trying to present to the world. And so we see enough ugly behavior in this world as it is. We don't need to compound that and add to it. And we certainly do not want to give that to the world. All right. If we're going to be an influence to others, to lead them to Christ, we need to be aware of our appearance. And we do that because, you know, if you're going to talk the talk, you better walk the walk. I mean, we've said that. I mean, it doesn't do any good sitting there bar with your buddies. Hey, you all ought to go to church with me on Sunday. I mean, that's not the right place to be doing that. And in fact, if you're hanging around out in the bar, you shouldn't be doing that at all. And honestly, most of the time, you don't bring up the fact that you go to church at all if you're sitting there in the bar. You know, not even going to talk about that. But we need to be aware of our appearance. And the moment we are exposed to something different, our credibility is gone. Possibly so is the soul that was listening to us. They really, hey, this person's a hypocrite. I'm not going to listen to them. Our appearance comes in the form of dress, behavior, and our actions. And how we present ourselves. I mean, it's all there. So appearance is important, not only for us, but for God. And He wants us to present ourselves as the type of person that is faithful. You know, in 1 Peter 3:15, when He talks about sanctify the Lord Jesus in your heart, always being ready to give an answer of the hope that's in you. If you haven't demonstrated putting Christ first in your life, nobody's going to ask you about the hope that's in you. Nobody. There won't be a reason to. But if you have been demonstrating a faithfulness to Christ and the joy you have in serving Christ, someone just might ask you, why do you do it? And what do you hope to gain out of this? There's our opportunity to lead them in the right direction. See, perhaps if more people considered how God looked at them, they would change their behavior and appearance to reflect a more godly lifestyle. And that's what we need to be focusing on. We need to have a godly lifestyle to the best of our ability. And yes, that means making some adjustments if we need to. And acknowledging to God, I'm not perfect, but I'm trying. And then make the effort to do that. So that's our lesson this morning. I mean, it's a simple lesson, but it's one that I get in trouble for saying that word simple, don't I? But anyway. Think about your appearance. I mean, some of us, we've gotten to that point where we don't care about our appearance anymore. Well, appearance is still important. So remember those things. So we're going to sing an invitation song. If anyone needs to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.